Good morning. Welcome to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show is Jace. Our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, the Belleville Meat Market, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, let's get to the weather. All right, it's 86 down on the island in Galveston today, or this morning, starting off 86. Rain showers this morning with some sunshine during the afternoon hours. High of 89, south-southwest winds 10 to 20. And that rain chance is about 40%. Tonight, mainly clear with a low of 84. South winds 10 to 15. And then for tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy with a stray shower in the afternoon. And 88 degrees, winds south-southeast 15 to 25. I don't know where this wind's coming from, but they're calling for it. We'll have to roll with it. But looking at tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We're sitting on a low right now. We have a high coming up at 7:33 a.m. That's a 1.3 coming off an 0.9. Then a low at 3:01 p.m. at 0.1. Then a high tonight at 11:19 p.m. a 1.3. And 6:47 a.m. at sunrise, 8 p.m. sunset. And our moon phase is 77%, right at three-quarter. Looking at current conditions, the buoy offshore, 22 nautical miles east of Galveston. It's 86 degrees out there with 88-degree water, south-southwest wind 16 to 18. And inshore, Eagle Point showing a southwest wind at 7 to 11. And Morgan's Point, a little calmer up in the north end, south-southwest 3 to 7 miles per hour. So, and real quick, a star leaderboard update. Nothing's changed on the tagged reds. There's still two red tags weighed in, Gary Merchant and Nate Appella. And in the blue tag division, still the same five: Steve Isaacs, Mitchell Mays, Robbie Pratt, Brian Cook, and Alfred Williams. And looking at the inshore division, Eric Harper still leading Sheephead with a 9-10. Gafftop, Cherie Andrada with a 6-14. And in the black drum, Jason Smith of Sour Lake, 17-2. And on the Hall Power Offshore Division leaderboard, Kingfish is still being led by Leslie Maven of Grosbeck, 51 pounds, 4 ounces. And the only change I see is in Dorado, we have a new leader, Omar Cazeta of Alvin, a 42-pound, 4-ounce Dorado. Ling, still the same. Cody Milton of Corpus, that 93-pound, 5-ounce. And Joseph Hansen still hanging in there with a red snapper of 25 pounds, 8 ounces. And all the star kids, they're still the same. Nothing's changed on that. So here we go. Got a few weeks left, and then star tournament will be over. That's Labor Day. All right, let's run on down the coast now. Let's check in over at Sabine Lake with Captain Bill Watkins this morning, see what he's up to. Good morning, Bill. What's going on over there, bud?
What'd you say, brother? How you doing?
Oh, just hanging out, man. Just trying to get back to a different schedule now.
Hanging in, hanging out.
Hanging out. It's a lot cooler in the studio than it is out in that boat, I can tell you that.
Oh, it is. But there's still fish to be caught.
Oh, yeah.
Those fish here, they're moving up north, just as predicted.
Well, look, I got a lot of garbage moving north up my way. Man, I never seen the likes of skipjack and gafftop and just garbage. There's trout in there with them and reds, too.
Yeah.
But you can't get to them for all the trash. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how that does this time of year. It's but I'm not catching that many gafftop, and I'm okay with that. Huh. It's not a whole lot of gafftop out there. I mean, normally you'd catch a bunch of them, but they've kind of seen population seems to be down a little bit. But skipjacks, yeah. But when you find them, there's usually trout with them, if you pick through.
Yeah, if you can just pick through and just, I mean, I mean, you can just hold a lure over the edge of the boat in the water on the surface, and skipjacks are just taking it and jumping. It's nasty.
I know.
I bet if you threw a cast net in there, you'd fill it up with skipjacks.
Oh, yeah. And they're so voracious. They don't ever quit eating. I think they grow about 2 inches a month.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Oh, yeah.
They're terrible.
They don't ever quit eating all day long, from daylight to dark. They eat.
They prefer shrimp. They'll work out on them shad, too. I got a lot of shad balls coming out of bayous and all that into the bay, and, man, they're having a full day on it.
You'd think that environmental concerns would have wiped them out, too, just like it did sand trout and croaker. No, a trash fish like that, they just, oh, man. Well, they're sort of entertaining until you get bored with it, you know. And it's just, but they keep you on your toes. They bite constantly. But there's trout under them, and I guarantee you, a lot of my game plan is playing with, you know, skipjacks. But it helps me to locate those trout. But, we've got both rivers are down, and they're low. And so all that stuff is going north now. And if it stays dry, I don't know, you know, we've got rain. It's rained every day somewhere around here.
Fishing Tuesday, I kept looking at radar, and they kept just coming in over your way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's, I was dodging it Sunday, man. I mean, shoot.
Yeah, it was bad. But
it moved around and didn't bother us at all. And at one point, it got a little bit cooled off with the breeze, and it's shifted some way and went around, and we didn't get that one. So it's been like that, you know, for the last 3 or 4 days I've fished. I've had to put up with it. One day we sat in the truck for 2 hours.
Good Lord.
Yeah, that was driving me nuts.
Monday I didn't even put in the water. It was just, it was a light show. Big time electrical storm, and I just said, well, we'll fish tomorrow. And we did.
Yeah. Yep, it's better. Discretion is a better part of valor on that. Lightning will kill you. And I'm nervous about it every time it thunders where I can even hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I start watching that radar. Be sure that it's moving off somewhere. But, yeah, we've been doing real good on trout. Anywhere from 22 head to 42.
Yeah.
And everywhere in between, depending on how many people I got in the boat. I've had, you know, twos and threes and even four one time, which I don't like to do, but, you know, if we have to, we have to.
Yeah.
But white is still the reigning color, and line truce will do just fine. And you can catch them on, now the water's so pretty, we're catching them on, you know, like that ice-colored Little John.
Mm-hmm.
And I switch over from that to K. Wiggler ball tail and a white or a white bone diamond, you know. You can't miss on that. Or a glow chartreuse at daylight. You cannot miss with a glow chartreuse. It just works.
That's pretty much what we caught everything on. Night glow, well, in the daytime we call it day glow. Chartreuse tail, and I threw a pearl shrimp tail with a chartreuse tail all day. found a bunch of
Yeah, that's just
the old Paul Brown ones with the little eggs on them. And that's what I fished with all day. I didn't even put my purple Little John on, believe that or not. Never threw it.
No. I can't believe that.
It's hard to believe. I'm getting lazy. Didn't want to change baits. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Just keep throwing.
That's true. Just keep on rocking with it. Yeah, we're not catching that many big trout right now. You'll get 15s and 17s and 18s every once in a while. I hadn't seen a 20 in the last three or four trips, but there's a whole pile of 12 and 12 and a half inchers. Man, and I'm sure glad Louisiana changed that law, because I'd be filleting 12 inchers by the piles.
Man, that's little. And 12 inches.
Yeah.
It is
that's
little,
pretty
man.
Small.
That's bait.
It is. But they are the best eaten. But I'm so glad they changed that limit to 13 inches, because that allows those fish to spawn one time. So, hey, it's all good.
We didn't have many fish in the 15, 16-inch class either. They were 17 to 20 inchers, or then you'd catch five or a 6-incher. I said, now, where did these come from? They still had milk on their breath. Going, good Lord. You think you had a little sand trout or something. You get it up, and it's a baby speck.
Yeah, we've been catching quite a few of those 5-6-inch trout. Mm. I don't know how they get on the lure. You can tell when you're in them, they're just bumping all over it, you know.
Chicken pecking, man.
Yep. Yeah, and I've been running into a bunch of those, too. I'm wondering when they respond.
Yeah, like a 5-incher, that either had to be this early spring or late in the fall last year.
Yeah,
but I don't know what they're doing running around with those bigger fish like that.
No.
I'd be worried about getting eaten alive.
Yeah, and surely some of them must.
I didn't run into any sharks this week. Had a lot of dolphins around, but no sharks.
Yes. I was going to tell you, it's starting to happen at Sabine Pass. Now, if you get around the boat basins and stuff like that where the deep water...
Uh-huh.
And those porpoises, they're coming up. They're not taking the fish off of our line, but they're coming up.
They're waiting for you to throw them back.
They're throwing, when you throw them back, they're eating them.
That's it.
So it's like, oh, man. It's coming. I know it. They're getting trained up.
Times are not good for speckled trout.
No.
They,
and everybody loves them.
Yeah. All right, let me knock this break out, and we'll come back and continue on. Hang with me, my friend. All right. BigCashSnapper.com, the Big Cash Snapper Tournament. It's wrapping up its first annual series with a free entry snapper tournament. That's right, no entry fee. You can fish anywhere along the Texas coast on Friday, September 5th, and that's from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m., and bring your best three snapper to the weigh-in at Rusty Hook Ranch in Matagorda on Saturday, the next day, by 6 p.m. First place, no entry fee now. First place, $5,000. Second place, $2,500. Third place, $1,500. And they'll have side pots for Big Snapper, Ling, King, and Dorado. And then you can join in after the weigh-in for food, live music, and a fundraiser for the Hookspit Junior Anglers Association. Details at BigCashSnapper.com. That's BigCashSnapper.com. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right. It is 4:18 here in the Bayou City. All right, Bill, we are back, my friend.
All right. I'm here with you, buddy. No problem.
Well, I always think about you. I always hear more of, more bacteria related illnesses, I guess, or whatever you'd call it, over Louisiana way. I've been having
a lot. Yeah, that's scary.
Yes.
That's funny how we didn't have to worry about that when we were growing up.
Right.
I don't know where it come from. Maybe it was there then.
No, we had it all along. It just, you know, everybody's, it's just, you hear more about it now than we did back then.
I think maybe a healthy young person probably won't stand much chance of getting that unless they have an autoimmune disease. But, you know, older adults, I think they need to watch out for that. I did lose a friend to it, you know. It started on his foot, and they amputated that right on up, and they never could get it under control because of his age and poor health. And it finally killed him.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just a lot more prevalent on the Gulf Coast this year, you know, from Florida all the way to here. It's Louisiana's really been a lot of cases over there.
I
tried to open up
that.
A site about it, NOLA.com, but they want you to buy a subscription to it right when I was starting to read off of it.
They should let you do that.
Yeah, why put it up if you're not going to show us? But
yeah, that's right.
But it's definitely on the rise. And it's that time of year. It's probably August. The water's hot. And, you know, people blame it on fresh water, but it is a, you know, salt water issue. You know, you see it in fresh water. Some people get it. But,
There's so much bacteria
more prevalent
in the water.
Yes.
That's just, you just, and that's why, you know, I quit wade fishing long ago because I was afraid I'd get into some of that.
Well, a lot of people are getting it aren't even wade fishing. They're just getting it from like a shrimp horn hitting them in the finger or what have you, or just any kind of little cut on them. And
that's another reason not to use live bait.
Yeah. But it's if it's in the water and you get any kind of water on you, it just doesn't matter. If you got scrapes and cuts on you and you aren't in the best health, stay off the water till you heal up.
That's true.
No open wounds.
Yeah. Yeah, I worry about that. If I get, you know, stabbed by a fish hook or something like that.
You know, my mom was perfectly healthy when she got it back in the day, fishing at Tech City Dyke. I don't know, I was probably about 12 years old when that happened. She almost lost her arm.
Man.
Yeah.
That's really scary.
You just never know.
No, you don't.
In some areas it's prevalent, and you just don't know where it's going to be. You know, they try to nail it down to certain areas, but, I mean, the current moves that stuff around. And it's just pretty much a bad luck deal when that happens.
Yeah. I worry about it, but I try to.
Oh, yeah, at our age, that would that'd put us down for a while.
I try to.
They say like 1 out of 5 die from it. The key is getting to it early. If you got some kind of symptom like that and you wake up with a throbbing area, you know, like a finger or on your whatever, foot, arm, leg, better get to the hospital immediately.
Yeah, and I don't allow gaff top in the boat. And if somebody gets a cut or a scrape or a fish hook in their finger or whatever, I insist on treating it right there.
Yeah, I just spray Clorox cleanup on it. I'll just keep a bottle of that.
Yeah, Clorox.
Spray that on there first and boil it out with that. I mean, immediately.
Yes.
And then you can go to something else, Band-Aid with Neosporin or something.
Yeah, I try to keep Band-Aids in the boat.
I mean, most bleach your boat too when you clean it every day. I keep bleach in a pump-up sprayer, and I'll spray down my boat before I, you know, wash it. If there's any bacteria. I know a guy that was, he was an outboard mechanic, and he popped a inspection plate out of the floor of a boat, and he was putting a new bilge pump in it for a customer, and he scraped his arm on the edge of that, you know, that ring in the floor, and he got it from that. I mean, that bacteria was prevalent there, you know, from the boat being on the water. So that's
use
that bleach,
you know,
man.
I never even thought about that.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Yeah, I wipe out my sump back there, you know, battery compartment and all that.
Yeah,
I wipe
clean
that
your bilge.
Out.
Sure.
And I don't know whether I should put Clorox in there or not. I guess that's probably a good idea.
Just spray it in there.
We think alike. Yeah.
That keeps the bilge smelling fresh.
Yes, it will. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there, air seal bands and stuff that'll cut you.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to be real careful with that. So that's a real thought. I'm glad you mentioned that.
They even reported a case of it in Cape Cod, way up north.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Huh.
Buzzards Bay Beach.
Buzzards Bay.
Yeah.
Shoot. if that far up, they can still have it, I guess. I don't know how much further it would extend.
We have more people, you know, using the water now, more people fishing. I mean.
True.
And it's been around. I remember, I'll tell you what makes me nervous when you're flipping a gaff top off, if you get finned by one. I mean, who's to say their fin won't have that bacteria on it?
It could.
You know, coming out of the water like that, any fish, you know, shrimp, croakers, you know, handling those live croakers too, they'll fin you. And
that's why I use those crab grabbers, those commercial crab grabbers.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a hold of a gaff top of those, or a hard head.
Use long needle nose, you know, long ones. That way, when you do get the tip of it around the hook to flip it off, that gaff top, little short pliers, your hand's too close to it, and if he makes a good flop, he'll put that fin in.
These commercial crab grabbers, they're about a foot long.
Yeah, they're like tongs.
Got good handles on them, and you can buy a pair of those, and they're not that expensive. And, you know, the commercial crabbers use them all the time. That's how they sort through their crabs, and you don't have to worry about getting bit by a crab, which can be pretty dangerous. One of them Jimmy crabs get a hold of you.
Oh, man, I had one shake hands with me a couple of years ago when we were doing our crabbing deal in the fall like me and my buddies do. And, oh, man, I had to get one of them to pry it off of me. I couldn't get him loose. And finally I said, just break the pincher off. I broke the pincher off, and it still wouldn't let go. And Wesley finally pried the pinchers open to get it out. I mean, it went all the way to the bone, buddy. It was a big one. It was about an 8.5-9-inch crab. Giant blue. I thought he had. Yeah. Thought he was stunned enough. We always ice them down and let them, you know, get stunned and then clean them. Well, that one wasn't ready yet.
He was tough enough to take the cold.
Somebody get this thing off me. He's eating me up, man. Oh, boy.
Yeah, shoot up here amongst us. One of us has got to have some relief.
Either kill me or kill the crab.
That's right. Yeah, do it. But that's dangerous, too.
Yeah.
It's all kind of, you get stuck and bit and finned, and, you know, sometimes you just have to wade into it. Those old trout will bite you sometimes. They'll put a hook in your hand.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you go to grab them by the back of the head. Oh, man. And I always tell people, don't grab them anywhere but by the gill plates. Reach them from behind and squeeze hard. And you'll have them under control. They'll even open their mouth for you. But people only grab them in the middle and, you know.
Well, they see photos on social media and stuff, everybody holding and caressing a trout by its belly and all that. It looks really good.
Yeah.
You know. Best way to do it, we just mash our barbs down. You cannot lose a fish with a mashed down barb unless you give it slack. And then you get them up by the boat. And I mean, we're through so quick with a three fish limit. You know, most of the rest of the day is shaking fish off next to the boat.
That's
Once
true.
In a while, you'll hook one and it won't come out and you got to grab it. But I just reach over with a pair of pliers over the side and just flip the hook out. But with a barb mashed down, they come off pretty easy. Makes it a lot better.
Oh, they do.
Better for the fish. Better for me, too. I don't have to handle it.
That's right. Yes, sir. And, you know, like you say, if you fish in the Texas waters, you get a three fish limit pretty quick.
Yeah.
You get into them.
It's not the same anymore. Just, it's really changed it, you know, changed everything, the whole outlook. And hopefully it's going to work. I'm contending with it for now. All right, Bill. Well, look, buddy, if somebody wants to come over and fish with you, what's a good way to get a hold of you? Best way?
409-673-9211.
FishingBeanLake.com. That's right. All right, Bill. Well, hey, you have a good day. Good talking to you, and be safe out there.
Will do, buddy.
Later, man.
Thanks.
All right. Well, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken. They have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., along with their smoked sausage samples available daily in the store. You can try it before you buy it. See which blend you like the best. Check out their bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and pecan smoked sausage, homemade hot dogs, original, and with cheddar cheese. Hamburger patties, stuffed pork tenderloins, stuffed peppers, stuffed mushrooms. So let the Belleville Meat Market be your backyard barbecue block party headquarters. And check out their new chuck wagon patties. That's half-pound beef patties, seasoned and loaded with cheddar cheese. And while you're there, check out their grab-and-go snacking products like beef jerky, turkey jerky, dry sausage, and dry sticks. And their wild game processing facility, it's open year-round. They never close. You got to try it. You can get you some deer tamales, venison hot dogs, and your family will love that you did. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, 435 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run up to Lake Conroe now and check in with the fish dude. Hey, Richard, what's going on?
Not a lot, Mickey. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good. Did you survive Coletta Creek?
You know it, but I played hooky again. I'm over at Calcasieu right now.
Wow, you dog.
I know, it's horrible, isn't it? I tell you what, but the problem is I ain't going to be able to talk to you on Saturday because I'm going on an overnight tuna trip. I'm leaving here. We're going to fish. Been over here since, I don't know, I've been over here for 2 days, and I'm going to go after today. We're going to go catch some, see how many trout and redfish we can catch today, and then head over to Cocodrie and do the tuna trip out of Cocodrie. So it's all good. But I tell you what, we've finally figured out a few of these trout over here yesterday. So they're just was actually running in, and dang birds started dive bombing, and it's like, uh-oh, here we go. So we stopped, got in a pretty good school, and stayed in that school just kind of drifting with them for probably a good hour and a half, and kept catching them. So we ended up keeping like 18 keepers, but man, we probably caught close to 50 fish total, you know. And it's a blast as far as, you know, running them trout around and them birds like that. But the, you know, the birds would leave, and then they'd you'd have boats run by and they'd look at you like, what are you doing out here in the middle of nowhere? Well, we just kept on chunking them and catching them rascals. So it's all good. But then them dang bull reds got on them out on the jetties. So just pulling on them, playing tug of war a little bit, and then, you know, just seeing how they wanted to act. So it's just pretty good, you know, just chunking up ladyfish for them dang big bull reds. So you can't beat that deal. So, and then after this week, I think I'm going to be back for a little while anyway, you know, because I actually go fishing on Conroe. But it's just one of the things. I enjoy all kinds of fishing. It don't matter where, when, how, I don't care. I want to try it all. And that's the thing, especially when it comes to them dang big old tuna. I love pulling on them things. So
you can have all that you want there, bud. I'll just run the camera and watch.
I hear you. See, that's like when
I might take a couple of tuna steaks off of you to grill. But
there you go. You can't beat that deal at all. I promise you, man. That first tuna is something else. But, you know, that's me. And then, you know, like you say, get a couple of fresh steaks, throw them on the grill a little bit, and pop them right off and get after it. So that's a good thing. But yeah, I'm ready to get back to Conroe and see what's going on. But I got to get this out of my system. So that's one of the main things. Get out here and just see what's going on. You know, I try to do it at least once a year where I get to go off and do a little tuna trip, but I hadn't done it in a couple of years. So, and, you know, last year we did do one in August, so it wasn't too bad, but it wasn't, you know, we only had a couple of tuna. They were only about like 40 pound range, but that's still tuna. Right. And then had all them dang blackfin. Man, we hauled them blackfin out of Cokersville last year. So
yeah, they're like wearing them out, you know, over here off all the shrimp boats right now. The blackfins are thick.
Oh, man, I bet they are. You know, that's the thing. Those blackfin people, some people say they're not very good, but I don't know. The way I do it is always pretty good. Just cut them rascals up, throw them on the smoker, smoke them up, and then vacuum seal that smoke blackfin. When you get ready for some, pull him out of the package, let him thaw out, and get you a little jalapeno relish, some mayonnaise, and mix him up and get you some Ritz crackers and go to town.
Oh, I mean, man, that sounds good.
I'll tell you what, it is good. It's, you know, and like I say, you know, I don't know if it freezes very well, you know, because I just don't ever really freeze it until it's cooked, you know, but as far as blackfin, but that yellowfin, you know, just freeze that rascal up and you know, vacuum seal him and you're in good shape. So, but I'm making myself hungry sitting here talking about it. That ain't right. So, and then like last night, we got out and hit some lights out here along the intercoastal, and it was a blast. You know, he caught a bunch of sand trout last night. Had one pretty dang good speckled trout. He was good night. I think that rascal was, he's probably close to 17 inches long, so it's a pretty dang good one. You know, and that's one thing I noticed I've been told is they changed the size limit over here on them trout, because it used to be like 12.
13.
Yeah, went from 12 to 13, so. And I guess that's pretty good, but there's still a lot of dang little juveniles out there. So
that's why there is, because you can't keep them.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. Right. You know, but
they're going to get a whole nother spawn out of those fish for next year.
Yes, that's a good thing. You know,
it is.
There's
it's 12 inches. Biggest, it is kind of small, man. I fished over there, and they keep them. And I'm going, man, that just don't look right. 12 inches laying in the box. I'm going, that's nasty.
Yeah, I'm telling you. But one of the biggest things I noticed over here is these dang porpoises. Good night. Them porpoises are everywhere. I mean, we're sitting out there a couple weeks ago, about a month ago, I was over here, and we running them trout around. And every time you throw one of them back, dang porpoise would eat it. So it's you know, they done learned where the which boats sit there and catch them and which ones don't. Them goofy rascals will slap water at you too if you ain't catching enough fish for them. I mean, that's what's funny. They got spoiled rotten, so they'll come up and slap that tail and spray water all over you. So, It's kind of like that old bird dog when you're out there in the field hunting and you miss. He looks at you and starts growling. It's like, you knucklehead, you're going to have to hit something because I'm ready to work. I mean, I know you've seen dogs that'll do that.
I used to have my labs, man, we'd be duck hunting. It'd be slow, and that dog would be sitting there shaking and staring me down like, man, you can't call any in?
I know.
Call, you stupid dog. It's slow right now.
That's it. I'll tell you what, there's something else. I had a buddy of mine's. I did borrow his dog every once in a while. He named her Wilma. You know, that
Wilma.
Wilma, Flintstones, exactly. And I'd take Wilma out there, and we'd sit down, and if you missed two or three times, she's going to look at you and start growling like, what's going
on? Give you a dirty look, man.
I guarantee you she would. Them songers, they want, when you get a good dog, they want to hunt. I mean, they don't want to do nothing but hunt. So, and she would literally do it till she dropped. I mean,
I have one to give everybody dirty looks like, you could tell she wanted to say, y'all are some no-shooting machines.
I guarantee you. Sometimes you wonder what they are thinking, and that's about what they do. You rascal, you need to take some lessons and start shooting a little bit better because I'm ready to go do something. I mean, it's,
I better start dropping some ducks here, boys. This dog's going to bite you if you don't.
I guarantee you. Grab it, snatch that gun out of your hand and show you how it's done. I mean, goodness. I'll tell you what, that's a blast. So, but, you know, you don't run across those real good dogs very often. You know, if you're lucky, you get one or two in a lifetime where you got a dog that you just don't have to. You don't have to constantly be on to do what you want it to do, because that's what they're there for. You know, they're there to serve you, not to do their own thing. But so many people just let them get out there and just run wild, and then the next thing you know, you got a dog that he won't do everything but what you want. So, because I had one yellow lab one time, and I thought, man, he's going to be a good dog, and I got him all trained up and everything. Got on the first duck hunt, shot a couple of birds, and that rascal it landed in this little small cut, and this cut was probably 20 yards wide and about 7,500 yards deep, so it wasn't super wide. We're sitting right on the edge of it in the blind, and that dang, I shot two buffalo heads, and them suckers. I shot one of them. One of them fell in the middle of that canal, and I sent him out after him. That son gun swam right by that duck and went to the other bank and just took a dump, and then swam right back and came right by that duck again, sat down by my side, and I looked at him like, what in the world are you doing? They used that bird's out there, and you're supposed to go get him, and you didn't do nothing like that. I mean, he hit the other bank, swam right by the bird, came back, and swam right by him a second time, and then sat down next to me. And I thought, man, you just a lap dog. You ain't a hunting dog. I mean, goodness. And then years ago, I had me a little German short hair, best dying quail dog there ever was. I mean, that knucklehead, we used to hunt him out there around Lano and stuff all the time on them quail, but quail are almost non-existent anymore in that part of the world. But
yeah,
it's pretty much everywhere, and I don't know why. It's just, I heard so many dang reasons about, you know, pesticides, fire ants, habitat. I've heard everything under the sun about why the quail aren't as thick as they should be or could have been or anything. And it's, you know, like out there in Atlanta, I think we got one covey with about eight quail in it, you know, so it's just not, they're not there, you know, it's just, and then, you know, South Texas, I know they still got quite a few. You know, you're talking about Bob Whites and Blue Wings down there. So it's, you know, it's different. And that's, you know, dove hunting too. You know, even dove hunts, you got the mourning dove and the white wing. And, you know, one of the best hunts I did for white wing was actually down around Hondo on a golf course. I mean, it was the dangest thing. You'd hunt off the tee box on number one, you'd hit have a group on tee box on number one, a tee box on the green. I mean, off the another group off the green. Then you go to number two, and you have a group on number two tee box, and a group on number two green. And they just, when it, them birds come through, I mean, it's the dangest thing sitting on the dang golf course, ordering drinks and having them bring them right out there to you while you're bird hunting. I mean, it's goodness.
I know.
I'll tell you what, it's something else, but yeah, you know, those experiences throughout a lifetime or something else, you know.
I'm telling you.
And it's just, you know, and them white wing, good night, that's a big old bird, you know, when you start thinking about it. But like them goofy old ring necks that are around, I don't think they've ever put any kind of limits on those things, because that ain't nothing but
that's open,
pretty much a pigeon.
Open season on them boogers.
Yeah, buddy, and they're pretty thick. They're starting to get thick around everywhere, but it's, I don't know how we got into hunting. We was talking about fishing. So,
well, it all goes together, man. If you do one, you probably do the other.
I know, both ways, brother.
All right, Richard.
I know.
Well, good luck on your fishing over in Louisiana. Somebody wants to call you about fishing Conroe. Give them a number.
All right, Mickey, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dudes Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com. Or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, Richard. Well, have fun. I'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. We'll see you.
See you, man. All right. All right, that's the Fish Dude over in Louisiana fishing over there. Now let's go down to Matagorda and check in with Captain Charlie Paradosky. Charlie P., what's up, bud?
Hey, good morning.
What's going on?
Resting up.
I hear
you. Not much, man. I fished yesterday, wade fished yesterday and Sunday. And
right.
It was good. Sunday, we went west. I told them, I said, man, East Bay's getting stale. Had two of my better fishermen. I said, let's go west, just go hunting. And, you know, the last several times I've been down there, Mickey, I'm not seeing those porpoises. You know,
right.
And we're not catching a lot of fish. Well, porpoises were everywhere. Everywhere. And we caught fish all morning on topwaters. Yeah. And I went back down there yesterday. A couple of my buddies went down there the day before. They couldn't catch nothing. Said they never saw a porpoise. Go back down there yesterday and saw porpoises in two areas. That's where the fish were.
That's where the fish were, yeah. Well,
yeah.
They're fishermen, too. They'll find them for
they
you.
They are.
Y'all but, don't look for birds anymore? No, we've looked for porpoises.
Now, Sunday was really good. I mean, we threw nothing but little topwaters, and they ate all morning. Now, there are a lot of little fish around. There's no doubt about that, man. They're everywhere. You know, but there's good fish too. You know, yesterday I kept I had three guys and we kept nine fish and they were all upper slot.
Right.
You either caught a good upper slot fish or you caught a little fish.
That's the way it was for me Tuesday. Same way.
Yeah. And I found one grass bed that I've caught fish about five times. Every time I go down there, it's where I catch fish.
Mm-hmm.
There's one porpoise. I mean, he's eating every damn fish we turn loose.
Yeah.
It's, you got these guys scattered out, and one of them get a fish on, that porpoise is standing right next to him.
Yeah, waiting on him to chunk it.
Yeah. Then somebody 50 yards away hangs a fish, that
he'll
same damn
there.
Porpoise right there.
Two tail kicks, and he's there.
Yeah.
Those things are quick, man.
Man, I'm telling you. And you'd think that he'd run all the fish away, but no, they're there. That's where they want to be. So, and there was nobody fishing yesterday, man. I think there was three trucks in that whole parking lot.
Yeah, I didn't see anybody Tuesday. It was pretty lonesome out there. I really liked it.
Yeah. I do, too. One thing that that helped us Sunday, you know, it was dead calm, but there were pop-up showers everywhere. Mm-hmm. Now, all those people that come out of Port O'Connor, and you know it's crowded, they were all in the surf. They There wasn't nobody down there. And that helps, too, not having boats buzzing all around you, you know. So, anyway, it was a good bite,
A decent year in the surf.
Yeah.
A lot better than last year.
Yeah. I haven't been in the surf yet. Not one time.
I hadn't either.
But, you know, over here in Matagorda, the people that do the best are the ones that drive down the beach in their vehicle.
Yeah.
And it's got to where going the other direction, it's all people throwing croakers.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we got fish to catch over here. And I have checked out a lot of my redfish holes that I used to, in August, you know, just slaughter the redfish. And they're just not there.
Same here.
What
I mean, I spent the majority of our time the other day, you know, trying to catch redfish after we caught trout, and just, man, nothing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to thinking about it yesterday. You know, really, they may be coming up in the middle of the day, the heat of the day. You know,
well,
that's what we used to, you know.
I'm in that recliner behind that tube in the air conditioning by that time. I can have it.
Oh, but nobody wants to stay up past 11:30, 12 o'clock. They're all ready to go in.
Yeah, I don't blame them. I mean, I'll grind them. I can get a crew who wants to stay till 3 or 4. I'll do it, but I don't like it.
Yeah.
No sense in it.
Yeah. Well, it's really not that hot out there in the water until you get back to that concrete.
No, that's when it's hot, when you get to the cleaning table.
And it gets unbearable.
Open that truck up, and it's about 150, 180 in there. Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's what's going on over here. Did you fish this week? Sounds like you did.
I fished Tuesday, Monday. I didn't even take it off the trailer. Man, it was an electrical storm over here, lightning everywhere. And I said, you can have this. I'll fish tomorrow.
Yeah, we had a shower yesterday morning about 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it rained as hard as it could possibly rain for 15 or 20 minutes.
That's it. Yeah.
And that was it. No more.
All right,
few
Charlie
pop-ups.
P. Well, if somebody wants to call you, give them your number. I can come over and cut a wade.
All right, 713-725-2401.
All right, Charlie. Hey, you have a good one. Rest up and get ready for the next one. I'll see you Saturday.
Take care, Mickey.
Later. All right.
Yes, sir.
All right, it's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.